Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 174, part one, Learning to Be Content, or as I like to refer to, Learning to Be Content. Today is Friday, November 19th, 2010. It's 5:26 a.m. I'm doing the intro. I haven't had my coffee yet. But I'm just so excited to do these podcasts. It's incredible. I have special, special music for you coming up from Pastor Paul and a little music advice if you're in the industry. Hey!
What song have you written? Name one song you've written. There's hope. Okay, there's hope. And all of a sudden, you turn the radio on. There is hope, there is hope in Jesus. La 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 la. And they change a couple words. La la, there is hope. You say, wait a minute. I wrote that song. I wrote that song. Ah! Crash, 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 huh? Would you be content? Be pretty hard, wouldn't it? Better get that song patented. Just a little insurance. God doesn't raise up fools, you know.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA, and I'm sitting in the rabbi's office right now at Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Right now, I can hear some bags rustling. We are filling them with food. If you need food and you live in North Minneapolis, you live in South Minneapolis, you live in East Minneapolis, West Minneapolis, you live in the state of Minnesota, come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. If you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, come call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and get your household registered for groceries. We have got a lot of food and we have a lot to give away, so don't be shy. Give us a call. And for those of you who are not in Minnesota and you're listening to this podcast, be sure to join our online community. A lot will be happening there in the future, but for right now, just go to the top of the homepage. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. And don't forget Twitter. Sounds little, but it's big. Twitter. Follow the Twitter Rumble, generally on Thursday, where I do live tweets when I'm actually recording Pastor Paul's messages. So don't forget Twitter Rumble on. Why do we call it the Twitter Rumble on Thursday? Why? Because we're in the middle of a rumble. Can you hear that phone ringing? All right, we're already getting calls for Pastor Paul's. People want to register, but call back at 1 o'clock. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, give a testimony. If you want to do all that at the blog, go ahead. We'll be interested in reading it. You can also email me, but I wouldn't. I've got way too many emails. Better yet, just call me on the phone, 612-521-4665. I'd love to hear your voice. Okay, don't send me an email, call me on the phone, or start a podcast. It's fun. All right. Hey, I am psyched. I'm in the rabbi's office. How can't you be excited about that? Speaking of the rabbi, also scripture links within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to check those out. Now, this is the November introduction. I almost forgot. This is the November introduction. Let me get my tapes. Hang on a minute. I'm in the rabbi's office at the rabbi's desk. I'm taking over, people. Okay, here we go. Hang on. I have to take the rubber band off of all these tapes I have for the month of November. Okay. And, you know, if you come to the podcast, you know, you can just actually go through this message. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. Okay, but here it is. Who is willing to go? That's next week's message. Learning to be content. Oh, learning to be content. I've been going to so many things, talking and listening about content. I get the two mixed up sometimes. Be content or be content. Well, I guess that's what we are right now. We're being content. Okay. We that know the Lord. I wonder if there's some we that know the Lord. Okay, well, that's the next one. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay, I'm kind of thinking on all of these. Let me go back again. You know, I am kind of a slow reader, but I'm trying to I'm trying to kind of take this in. Okay, let me try it again. Now, keep in mind, this is not a radio broadcast. It's a podcast. Okay, so I don't have to do a perfect job. All right, here we go. This is the November announcement. I'm your hostess for the mostest. I already said that. Okay, who is willing to go? That's a good one. I know that's going to be good. Who is willing to go? I am. Okay, I know you're holding up your hands right now. The next one, learning to be content. That I know is going to be a good one because that is hard for all of us, especially me. Learning to be content, not content. We that know the Lord. Now that one, we that know the Lord. I get it. We that know the Lord. Okay. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay. Those are them. Those are November's podcast coming up. And be sure to listen both on Friday night and on Sunday. We're kind of doing the same thing that we did with Pastor Paul in church. You know, every Friday night we came in and listened to a message that was always so cool because it was at night and we came in and listened. There usually weren't hardly any people here, very few people, the die-hard people that wanted to hear the message. Okay, so you've got to hear that. That is part one. Part two is on Sunday. A lot more people come on Sunday. You know, everybody kind of goes to Sunday school, the church thing. But I want you, my die-hard podcast listeners, I want you to listen to part one on Friday and part two on Sunday. Promise me. Scout's honor. God bless you. Have a great month of November. Have an excellent Thanksgiving. And if you need food, give us a call. Bye.
Today's message is entitled, Learning to Be Content. Contentment. It seems like many are seeking contentment through retirement. I've seen fellows take retirement and they think, I'm going to be content when I get retired. And then they're miserable running all over trying to get content. Maybe they even get they get into recreation. I had a couple of friends of mine, they're playing this handball. But now they're competing with one another. And they're not content until they can be the very best. And they're, you know, some couple of them got arthritis and they got this wrong with them, that wrong with them. And they're not content. They're not good enough. Or they think that through things, like a lake home. A friend of mine's got a lake home. Well, it causes him more work. He's not content. He goes up there, has to mow the grass, put the roof on the place, the fireplace fell down and he had to remortar it. Then all the relatives just happen to be passing by, and that's 200 miles out of the city, and he has to entertain all them people. He didn't find contentment there, and through wealth. I was there a few years back, had some money. And I thought, well, now if I just get so much money, I'm going to be content. Well, I got that much money. I wasn't content. I wanted more. And so it was an ever-searching thing for contentment. And I saw my mother, this is Mother's Day, I see my mother and myself many, many times. And especially in that area when I was in the world, I was not content. And so through escape, well, we think, well, I'll escape. If I could go to Florida, or if I could go out to California, or if I could go here, if I could go to Europe, I'd be content there. You're taking your same old mean body wherever you go. You take your uncontentment or miscontentment, take it wherever you go. Maybe you're sitting in church today. Maybe you're listening on the radio or listening to this tape. And you think, well, I'm going to get some contentment out of this tape. No, contentment doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. Philippians 4 and 11 says like this, "For I have learned in whatsoever state," that doesn't mean any state in the union, state of your heart, "state I am in, therewith to be content. For I have learned whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content." And you know, if you learn that, sometimes you just really irritate people because you're content whatsoever state you're in. And they're miserable and they're wondering, well, what state is he in? Michigan? Where is he? Learn, are you listening to this, girls? Learn to be content. Now, you don't just automatically get that way. You have to learn how to be that way. And you know what? People will help you to learn how to be content. Your children will help you. Say amen, somebody. You'll have to be content with them while they're in jail sometimes. Or when they embarrass you. Or when they get on drugs. Or when this happens. And I'm not putting that on you. Don't think, well, that's a negative word. It's just merely dealing with fact. And so you don't get contentment out of having little babies. Oh, if we only had a little baby. And these couples get married, they're not content. And they think, if we just had a little skipper, just a little bunting baby boy, oh, we'd be content. And the kid is miserable. Are you hearing this? And they're miserable. So they think, well, if Junior had another little playmate, and so then they start adding to their family. And they go through their whole life and they're not content. Why? Because it's godliness with contentment that hath great gain. Not a contentment that you can have by your own. No, Paul was a very learned man here, but see, he learned even more. He learned to be content. He went to the higher school of learning. Now, in my ministry, I've had to learn to be content with a little and with a lot. Are you hearing this? Here I was out in the suburbs, and I had a lot. Now I have a little. Well, I'm wondering, was I more content out there than I was here? Because my contentment came the moment that I was saved, I started to get content. Well, now I had to learn that, and I had to learn contentment. And I had to learn to deal with this. And I had to learn to say, Lord, I want to be content in this situation with a lot or with a little. But I think much of the school of learning, don't you know, is focused on the past. And people enthusiastically will go through these fossils and bones and broken pots. And they spend very little time on the present. Today is the day. And today is the hour for you to be content. Well, now maybe you're thinking about something that happened to you yesterday. Well, you're not going to be content in today. Well, you know, they did this to me and they did that. And see, the whole area here is a forgiveness type of thing. I'm not saying you always be with people, but I'm saying there is a forgiveness thing that has to be there for you to be content. Without that, you will have no contentment. Now, I'm not saying that you have to just literally live on top of somebody. You hearing this? Live in the same place or be in the same place for forgiveness. But I'm saying the contentment is an inner thing. How many are hearing this? Now, you two are going to get married. Your contentment isn't going to come from one another. Your contending will come from one another. You're going to have to learn how to be content in contending. And you'll have games that you're going to play with each other, and you're going to have this that happens and that that happens and so on and so on and so on. And you're going to have to learn how to be content. Say amen, somebody. Each person has to learn how to be content, and that contentment comes from the Lord. And in all kinds of trials, in all kinds of tribulations, you have to learn that. It's the higher school of learning. Sometimes I wonder about myself. How can you, isn't it kind of vulgar? Isn't it kind of sinful for you to be content right now where you're at? No. See, I'm dealing with Sunday, today, Mother's Day. And I'm going to be content in this. And I'm not going to look back at the past. And I'm not going to look at the head of the future for some kind of contentment to come my way, because I want it right now. How many want contentment right now? Well, you aren't going to get it by just raising your hand. No, Paul says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content." You got to go through a whole lot of states. You don't get it in one just state of affairs. There's a lot of states that you have to go. I mean, in practical duties of life, they are neglected for knowledge. Always learning, it says, and never coming to know Jesus Christ. I think sometimes people become walking question marks instead of walking answers, walking epistles. Many even learn lost languages. What benefit is that? Say amen. If you talk with the tongues of men and angels, what benefit is it? Oh, but I am a prophetess. I am a this. I am a that. What's the final bottom line on this thing? Are you content? Now, I've seen all kinds of ministries. I've seen them come up. I've seen them come down. I've seen them go around. A lot of times, the ones that really fall are the ones where the people don't learn how to be content in so whatsoever state that they are in. We have to learn that because we are at the very end age right now. We have to learn how to be content with a little and a lot. We are going to be stuck with a little. Say amen, somebody. We are going to be stuck in a horrendous time. But anyway, far better the learning of Paul, learning to be content in any circumstance. Any circumstance. Did I say some circumstances? No, I did not. I said any circumstance. Are any of you in a circumstance right now? No, it doesn't mean bad. It could mean a good circumstance. Are you breathing? Well, then you're in a circumstance. Put your hands up if you're in a circumstance. You're in one. Whether you like it or not, you're in a circumstance. Lock the doors and windows. This is a circumstance. You're going to learn. No one's getting out of here. No toilet people going out of here. Nothing. You're going to learn to be content. Are you hearing this? See, you have to learn it. Sometimes it takes a few teachers. Sometimes it takes a good witness to learn how to be content in so whatsoever state you're in. But I think it was an ever-present need. It is a serviceable for all generations. All generations can learn what Paul learned. To attain this, I believe, is the highest degree in humanities to which any race, any person, to have learned in whatsoever state to be content. Are you content today? Are you content? Is there something bothering you today? Is there something that you'd want to tell us about here today? God, it gets quiet when you ask questions like that. Well, I have something I want to share with you. I'm content. Why are you content, Pastor Paul? I have learned to be content. Oh, that is the higher school of learning. And in reading this text, you will see that it is not natural for man to be content in all states. Is it natural for us to be content? I mean, don't all weeds grow in between the rows of contentment? Discontentment, I'm saying, and murmuring are as natural to man as thorns are to the soil. Now, we don't have to teach each other to complain. Did you ever have to teach somebody how to complain? Come on. Did you ever lock all the doors and windows? I feel fidgeting coming on. Did you ever have to teach anyone to complain? No, it comes natural from birth. We're born in, it says, into a cursed earth. Complaining takes no education. Babies know how to complain. You spank them, and right away they start complaining. The minute they come out of the mother's womb, their first cry is a complaint. And they go on complaining right through their life. And they get a little bigger, and they don't like their looks. I remember when I first went to a store to try on my first suit. And they had this three-way mirror. Now, I was content with myself until I got into this three-way mirror. Then I looked over to the side and I saw this real odd character. I said, who's that? And it was me. I was just a little skinny guy. And I had a lot of hair, believe it or not, and this great big nose. And I thought, well, I started getting self-conscious. And I wasn't content with my looks anymore. I thought, oh, my God. I never realized I looked like that from the side. Then I looked at the other side, and I thought, well, that side's better than this side. So then I had a good side. Say amen, somebody. Do you all know what I'm talking about? I'm the only weird one. Huh? No, I wasn't content with my looks anymore. So I'd walk around like this. Self-conscious. Not content anymore of my looks. Then all of a sudden I got into wearing clothes, and I wasn't content with the clothes I had. Well, look at my clothes. Look at these guys. Mom, Dad, look at they got. How come I can't have? My dad said, go to work. You buy whatever you want. I'm not buying you nothing. You want the nice clothes? You work. But I wasn't content with those nice clothes. I had to have nicer clothes. How many are hearing this? And even thought at one time, God, I wish I could have plastic surgery and I could have my nose cut off. It's so big and long. Then I seen someone that had plastic surgery. You know what? They shortened their nose and it looked like a pig. It was sticking up like this. How many have done that in a mirror? You're not content with your looks when you're a teenager and so you're trying different things with your face, huh? Isn't that crazy? How many have done that? How many still do it? Well, learn to be content with your face. It ain't going to change. I remember going to a reunion, a class reunion. I think it was a 10 or 15 or could have, of course now it could have been a 40-year thing, but I mean almost 35 or 36. But going to this and some of the girls that were so beautiful, I didn't believe it. I don't know what happened to these. And some of the girls at that time we called Sisty Ugglers were beautiful. Why? They were content. And the other people that were Mr. Beautiful or Mrs. Beautiful or whatever, they weren't content. And I looked at these people and I thought, well, what is the difference here? Well, the difference was contentment. And I think contentment must be planted after plowing and cultivated like wheat. There's got to be a plowing going on. You ever been plowed? If somebody comes up and says, man, you got a big snout on you. That's plowing. Man, you call yourself a man of God. That's plowing. You know what? Jesus in me loves you, but I can't stand your guts. That's plowing. You ever had anybody say that to you? Jesus in me loves you? How many hearing this? See, that's plowing. And as you get plowed over and over and over and over again, by children, by parents, by people, by congregations, by situations, finally, you give up and you say, well, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way the ball bounces. And I am too tired to get mad about it. I am going to be content right here. Now, of course, none of you folks know what I'm talking about, do you? A lot of you do, a lot of you don't. You listening on the radio, your contentment comes by agreeing with God. Learn, like Paul, to be content in whatsoever state that you are in. It's not always easy, let me tell you. Because people don't want you to be content. Why are you so content? You make me sick. You ever seen somebody that doesn't get ruffled? It irritates folks. Don't sit there with that peace on your face. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God. Do you give up your contentment? No. I think contentment is one of the flowers of heaven. And I think if we would have it, we must cultivate it. And it will not grow in us by nature. It is the new nature and that alone that can produce you've got to be spiritually watchful over this thing. Or you'll lose it. Have you lost your contentment lately? I lost mine the other day. I was kind of fidgeting and nervous and around, and pretty soon I sat down and I was sitting there, man, oh man, and I was wrestling in my mind and I was thinking this and I was thinking that and I was thinking about folks, how damnable mean they are sometimes. You ever think that? I do. You're thinking about all these things, and you're thinking about friends that did the, you know, did the skidoo, the triple skipple, skidoo, triple off to Mexico someplace or whatever, and you're thinking about all these things, and you, oh, God, what's going on here? Now, I just started to get discontented, disconnected. Now, all of a sudden, I thought, you know what? There's some dirty dishes in the kitchen that need doing. And I got up, and I did the dirty dishes, and you know what? I was contented. Does that sound stupid? Uh-uh. You start working with your hands, and you start doing, and you start talking to your soul. Soul, why are you discontented right now? What have you got to be discontented about? Have you got your health? Have you got the peace of God? Have you got this? Have you got that? Can you be content? Yes, you can be content. You claim it right now. Go ahead and put a stake of claim on it. And then stay there and mine that thing until you get something out of that mine. And I started to get contentment again. And I started to laugh at myself. And I seen my mother and myself. And it was, you know, Mother's Day today. And I seen this thing and I started thinking, oh my golly, you know what? I'm contented. The ceiling fell in. I'm sitting here with plaster and dust all over myself. But I'm content. Why not? Why not? You can make a choice today. You can be discontented or you can be contented in whatsoever state that you are in. Say amen, somebody. A lot of times we're worrying about our witness. Your witness doesn't hold anything if you're not content in whatsoever state that you're in. I mean, if you can lose it in a minute. You know, people can lose their contentment in a minute. I have made a resolve. And I know it's by the grace of God that I'll keep it. That I am not going to lose my contentment. Well, I might lose it temporarily. But if it ever comes, I'm going to say like Paul, I have learned to be content. Now, he didn't know that all the time, did he? He had to learn it. I didn't know contentment all the time. I remember as a young man, I was just a nervous wreck. I wasn't content. Then I got into trouble, and I got into, you know, boys' schools and jails and all kinds of things like that. Why? I wasn't content. I had to go after things. And then from there, I went to alcohol, and I got to be on skid row for a little time down there. And I wasn't content, well, no matter where I went. I was looking for it, though. I was looking at it. My God, when am I going to have contentment? When does my life start? This must be a nightmare. How many of at one time in their life have been through a nightmare? Total nightmare. Say amen. And you think, God, I got to wake up. This is a nightmare. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let it happen. Be content. Maybe you had a boyfriend or something. He turned out to be a nightmare. Huh? Do young girls have boyfriends that turn out to be nightmares? They most assuredly do. Most of them are, by the way. True. Have you ever seen a nightmare walking? I have three beautiful girls. I've seen a lot of nightmares walk into my house. You remember that? I used to tease their boyfriends when they come over. Now, what is this? How many heard this? It cost Paul a lot of pains to attain that great mystery of a great truth, to learn to be content. And no doubt many times he thought he had learned it and he blew it. Well, I used to say that. Hey, they are not going to get, and the world knows a lot, I'm not going to let that guy get my goat this time. How many hearing this? And you just tried to not let that person get your goat. It's not going to get my goat. You walked in with your goat hoofs on. Chewing on tin cans because you're so mad. You're not going to get my goat. How many know they got your goat? One key word. It had to be that key word. Good morning. That was it. That's enough. And contentment went down the drain. No, you have to learn how to be content. Now, Paul separated himself from a whole lot of people to get his contentment. He learned that. He learned that sometimes, you know, when he started dealing, that he had to run. He was content under a pile of stones. There he was, laying under a great big heap of stones, and he was still alive. He thought, well, I'm going to be content until these guys leave so they don't pile more rocks on me. He had to learn how to be content. It's like a young boy. They have to learn that over and over and over again, don't they? I remember as a boy, I had to, have you learned your lesson yet, my mother used to say? Have you learned it yet? No, I didn't. Have you learned it now? No, I hadn't. Have you learned it now? And I come out of boys' school, and I was sitting there, and there's a couple smarty pants in there, and a there, you know, and I was, now, you get in any kind of fights, or you get in any kind of trouble, you're going out of here. It seemed like my whole life was that way, you know what I mean? And it started out that way. And I, now, one more thing out of you, this is the principle, one more thing out of you, and the rest of the kids seemed like they were all doing this, but they'd blame me all the time, you know what I mean? Of course, I was always innocent, don't you know? And one more thing out of you, and you are going to be expelled out of here for good. Okay, I learned. I got in there, and somebody said something and tripped me, and I fell down, and I got up, and oh. How many know I got expelled? God. I had to learn how to keep my mouth shut. See, our flesh can never be satisfied. Can it? Maybe you think, maybe you're listening on the radio, maybe you're a young guy and you're thinking, oh, if I only had a girl, huh? Now you have to worry about every time she isn't home. Well, where were you? Well, what were you doing? Now you're really not content. Or maybe you're a girl. You got this boyfriend, he's an hour late. You start getting suspicious and kind of jealous. Well, does it take you that long to go down there? Huh? Are you content now? You better learn that way. Learn it. Learn it right away, how to be content. But anyway, Paul found this way, not easy learning, but at last. Gray-haired, scarred, whipped, bruised, an old man shut up in Nero's prison, he could say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I have learned it, finally. And so we might be willing to endure Paul's infirmities and share a cold dungeon if we might attain such a degree of contentment. If we can learn it, all girls sitting here today, learn how to be content with your faces. They're beautiful. But you wish you looked like somebody else. Well, why not Liz Taylor? Huh? And you people here, learn how to be content. Well, now we're getting a little older, right? Learn how to be content with getting a little older. Huh? Some people aren't content. They get so many facelifts, they got to close their shirt up here because the belly button's way up here in their neck. They're not content. Are you hearing this? Be content, being bald. One person told me, they says, you know what, you look better without here. I said, thanks a lot. Right, Mick? But learn how to be content. Right? Well, you know, I got these little curl marks here. You do that? Sure you do. I can just see it. I got these little curl marks here. You can see the curl marks. No. But those are smile marks. Did you know that? And learn how to be content. And you know, if you're content, you're beautiful. Right? You ever seen someone, they're a little older, but they're content and they're beautiful? where someone's uptight, they're not content, and they're just ugly and mean, and they get older looking quicker? Huh? Say amen, somebody. Oh, hey, there's a lot of young people that are old people. Why? They haven't learned how to be content. They're older than I am. My God, they're old. They're ancient. Huh? Not content, complaining. Oh, I just hate her. She just makes me so sick. Huh? Not content. Oh, she thinks she's so smart. That little waist. Huh? Ooh! You want to see some discontented people? Go to Fat Watchers Club. Somebody gets too skinny, they kick them out. That's what they go there for, to look at each other's fat. Same as somebody. But don't you never indulge, ever, ever indulge in the very silly notion that you can be contented without learning or learn without discipline. You cannot learn anything without disciplining yourself. Well, how do you discipline yourself? You keep your mouth shut when you'd like to lay a hurt on somebody. Oh, boy. I heard what they said. I know what they're doing. And then you sit down, and you're sitting there in your rocking chair, and you put them in quicksand. You hang them by the neck until dead. You do everything while you're there. You know, judo chop them. Yeah, you judo chop. You do everything, huh? Are you contented sitting there? And your heart is beating fast. You're thinking, oh, God, I'll shoot him dead when I get... You might have a heart attack sitting in the rocking chair. That's supposed to be a contented place, by the way, sitting in the rocking chair. Do you think old people are that way? Oh, yes, they are. They can think back and get meaner than hell itself. Say amen. I remember that when you did. And they die bitter in some old people's home. I mean, there's a lot of bitter people in the old people's home. Bitter. Why? They're not content. Take this away, I don't want it. You call this food, it's garbage. Well, a lot of times it is, but learn to be content with some garbage. Tell your kids to bring in something good if you're listening on the radio right now. Bring me in a Tutti Frutti ice cream, and I want a hamburger. Make sure it isn't a McDonald's. You know, I want a good, sticky, beefy burger. Bring it in here, I don't care how much it costs you. Thank you, I love you. Get going, see you here in 15 minutes. See, you have to learn how. Now, there's a lot of people that are in these homes. Someone has to tell them. Someone has to say, first, you must be born again. You must have Christ in your life. You must depend on the Holy Ghost. Don't depend on your kids. They don't want to come in there and see. It smells in there. It smells like old people. Did you ever say that when you went to an old person's home? And they're walking down there with two canes. Huh? And walking with a walker. And you just sort of pass on by them like they're nothing. Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. Hi, how you doing? Huh? Whew. Well, listen, old people, learn how to be content because that's the way it is when you get that way. Say amen, somebody. Woo! Praise God if you're old and you got your health. Be content with it. Say, praise God, I got my health. My breathing is okay. And you know what? You could be 25 or 30 years old and be discontented and have all the health and vim and vigor in the world and just be the most complaining person. Or maybe you're listening to me right now on the radio, and by the time you get this, it's going to be almost, you know, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're laying there. You're a great big sluggard. You're not contented. You're not, you know why you're not content? You've been sleeping, and you sleep your life away. You won't go get a job, and you're just sleeping there. And you know what? I know you won't turn me off because you're too lazy to roll over and turn the radio off. And you're discontented because your side is sore. Roll over. No, it isn't 1:45 now, honey. No, it seems that way, but it isn't. No, I haven't even started my message yet. How many are hearing this? See, it is not a power that may be exercised naturally, but I believe it is a science to be acquired very gradually. Doesn't come all at once. Do you ever see old people that are contented? And you go over there, and they're sitting on the porch like this ad on this TV thing where they have this, lemonade, like Grandma used to make, and they're contented. I used to love to go out with my dad because he was contented. He was 88 years old. He put on his ring. He put on his suit. He put on his watch. And he'd go down to get into his Greek, I call them the rat pack, because there was 8 Greeks and 1 Italian. And they had this big Cadillac, and they'd drive all over Long Beach in his Cadillac, go have coffee here and there and talk about the old days and cafes and when they were in business and like this. They were contented. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Alicia, your mother's contented, aren't you? She's contented. She's sitting in between Mick and Alicia, and she's contented. She's enjoying herself. She's enjoying her. Now, where are you staying now? Where are you? Some little town, isn't she? Fergus Falls. And she's contented to be in Fergus Falls, I bet. Right? Better than being one of them great big old high-rises. Huh? You know, isn't it funny? They build these high-rises, and your eyesight gets bad. You can't see anywhere, and you're on the 30th floor. Oh, praise God for the Fergus Falls of the United States. Oh, my God, a place to go to. See, it's got to be something that comes on gradually. Some parents never let their children be content. Did you know that? I mean, they're miserable. The kids are miserable all the time. And the kid will learn how to be content if you tell, hey, you're not going to get it, sonny boy. You can bawl until your head falls off. You ain't going to get it. Well, the other kids are getting everything, and I don't get nothing. So-and-so, you promised. No. Let your kids go through trials. Let them go through. Whew. Well, some parents, they satisfy every need of Junior. Every time the lip quivers a little bit, the kid knows how to get you. That little lip hangs down. What's the matter? Daddy's boy is crying. Oh, don't cry. Don't let that kid bawl. Let him improve his lungs and don't always worry about every time he falls down. Oh, you fell down. Get up and get going. Stop that bawling. Say amen. Oh, we're so worried. Baby, baby. Huh? Some people don't even go out of the house. They have a baby. You don't see them in church for 2 years because they're home watching baby. Baby, baby. Huh? And you know, that kid gets so sick of them by the time he's able to walk. He hates his parents. They're always on top of him. What's wrong, baby? Don't you hate somebody like that? I'm yourself. Somebody comes, what's wrong? Is anything wrong? Oh, I know something's wrong, Ruth. Tell me what's wrong. Come on now. Tell me something's wrong. Wouldn't you hate that? And say, nothing's wrong. Get out of my face. Huh? How would you like it? A great, big, huge face getting down and getting into yours and say, what's wrong, baby? This great, big, ugly face. What's wrong? And the kid's trying to have fun. Let him bawl and let him scream and let him have a bucket of sand dumped over his head. Let him have a few trials and a black eye. I remember we were out and my brother was out there fighting. I thought, well, you got to be fair. And my dad says, you didn't help your brother? This kid's bigger. He's beating him up. You didn't help him? I said, well, that wouldn't be fair, Dad. He says, fear nothing. Get over there. That's fair. Take care of your brother. So we both got beat up. But we were content. You know, their eyes all, well, you had a pretty good fight. A little black guy there, huh? No, that's nothing, huh? You learn, keep your dukes up. Learn to be content. Huh? Let your kids learn how to be content. Huh? Oh, and they cry at night. You wait. You just wait for every little... What was that? Did you hear that? Huh? Huh? No, it was just your mate breathing, okay? And they can't leave this baby alone, and the kid grows up to be a great big nerd. How many heard that one? Learn to be content. Doesn't the text bear this out? See, we don't need to be taught to murmur. You know what? If I told you to murmur right now, we could have a beautiful choir of murmuring. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Say that. Murmur. Say it. And rise it up. Murmur. Go ahead. Just have fun. Go ahead and do it. Relax. Be content in doing it. Murmur. And you know what? It'll do something if you do it. Every time you go to murmur, you'll remember this. Murmur. Good and loud now for the radio audience. Well, someone needs this. They're murmuring. I can feel it over the radio. Go ahead, all together now. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you love it? Sure, you love to murmur, see? No, we just love it. God, how we love to murmur and complain. Oh, murmur. See how you did it? You just fell right into it. Didn't have to rehearse it. You just knew how to do it automatically. See, we must be taught to do the will of God. It says, I will make you willing in the day of my power. Remember when God made me willing to get off of alcohol? I wasn't willing to get off it. I was made willing. What, did he beat you in the head or something? No. I was made willing from the inside. I was made willing by a set of circumstances that came my way. I was made willing. And in the 12th verse it says like this, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. But notice first that this here, the apostle says like this, how to be abased. Oh, I thought, God, that is so wonderful, learning how to be abased. When all men honor us, it's easy, isn't it? Hi, Pastor Paul. Praise God for the work that's going down there in the north. We are so, by the way, why don't you come down and send some money this way? Had to add that. Huh? Praise God, such a wonderful work is going on. When they stand up and sing when you come into the room, oh, here comes a Yankee Doodle Dandy, Yankee Doodle Do or die, a real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. Oh, hooray for Pastor Paul, huh? But when they point the finger at us, when they scorn us, but when our character is mud splattered. Are you hearing this today? Preacher! On the radio, listen to it. When men hiss us all along the way and get personal without appointment. Did you ever have somebody that's never made an appointment with you to talk to you and they get personal without an appointment? Do you ever have that happen to you? And they'll walk up and they get personal right away. I say, did you make an appointment with me to get this way? Hey, if you want to get personal with you, you have to have an appointment. Because there's a lot of them that want to get that way right now. And I'll tell you what, you got to have an appointment. Stand in line with the rest of them, fella. Say amen, somebody. And preacher, you better learn how to be content in that situation, too. Keep your mouth shut. Say nothing. The Lord gave me a song one time. I was all ready to get uptight. You know what it was? Say nothing till you hear from me. How many know that song? Oh, nobody knows it. I'm ancient. Oh, you know it. Say nothing till you hear. Well, you were a club singer. That's how you know it. La da 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 da. Isn't that the way it goes? Say nothing till you hear from me. Say nothing. That's Andrew Sisters, wasn't it? Say nothing till you hear from me. Dilly, dilly, dilly. You remember that? That's what God gave me. Say nothing till you hear from me. Oh, sometimes I want to say something so bad, and that song comes to me. Say nothing. Ooh. But you know, when I listen to the Lord, I'm content. Content. Because I didn't open up my yap, and I didn't get into all of that. Oh! Are you hearing this? When we are increasing and when we are growing in rank and honor and in human esteem, oh, it's so easy to be content. We smack our lips. All is well. And the phone rings. Hello. How's it going? Beautiful. Wonderful. Get ready. Are you hearing this? You're going to learn how to be content the other way too. Huh? Isn't it easy to be content when everything's going great? If you had $1 million right now, Ruth and Randy, you'd be content for a little while. We got $1 million. How's it going? Great. God has blessed us with $1 million. Oh, we're so content. If you have $1 million, it's hard to be content. You got to worry about where you're going to spend it. And everybody's after you. Hello. This is Mom. This is Fred. This is Joe. How you doing? This is Disciples Ministry. Disciples who? Well, I'm just using you because you have to sit up front, okay? But I mean, is it right, though? You get that $1 million and all of a sudden, flutie-tootie, you know what I mean? Hi, Floyd. Well, we'll see if that comes true. And if you do get $1 million, remember what I said. How many are hearing this message today? But we got to learn how to say with John the Baptist, I must decrease. How many are hearing this? We have to learn the gospel message and the gospel knowledge and be able to endure with patience and with cheerfulness. Like I said, John the Baptist, he lost his head. I must decrease that he will increase. Or when we see some other servant advance in our place. Maybe, have you ever been on a job and you've done actually all the work, but you're not a talker, and this guy says, yes, well, you see, you put this principle to work and so and so here, and this and so on, we decided, and he was of some help. We kind of worked together on it, and you did the whole thing. And they advance this guy ahead of you. Will you be content to keep your mouth shut? I think we ought to learn how to cry out like Moses did. Would to God that the Lord's servants were prophets. And to hear another man praise all at our own expense. Oh, that's hard. For someone to get credit for your work. This is beyond our human nature. To be able to bear it with joy and with thankfulness. And to bless God. But if you don't, are you content? No, you're fuming. And you're angry. And you call people. And you tell them, I did all the work. He gets all the credit. I did it. I did it. And parents even do that with their kids. Look what I did. I gave my life to this thing. And look at the thanks I get. Your poor gray-haired old mother. And it's Mother's Day. Not as much as a thank you. Not a phone call. Not a box of chocolates. I hate you all. Well, nobody's going to give you anything acting like that, are they? Or Father's Day or whatever. No, you got to learn how to be content. What song have you written? Name one song you've written. There's hope. Okay, there's hope. And all of a sudden, you turn the radio on. There is hope. There is hope in Jesus. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. And they change a couple words. La, la, there is hope. You say, wait a minute. I wrote that song. I wrote that song. Ah! Crash, 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 huh? Would you be content? Be pretty hard, wouldn't it? Better get that song patented. Just a little insurance. God doesn't raise up fools, you know. But think of it. Think of it! All right. Are you thinking of it? Don't get mad now. You know, people can get us mad prematurely. They can talk to us and make us mad. They can make us discontented by, well, you know what they're doing right now, don't you? Huh? What's that? You don't think they are? Oh, yes, they are. Oh, huh? People can get you discontented. You know that? By just talking to you. Well, where's so-and-so lately?
I wonder. Has Freddie Freeloader called? Wonder what he's doing. Do you think he's kissing someone else? And then they sing, I wonder who's kissing her now. Huh? It's so easy to get people discontented, isn't it? No, it's got to be learned, hallelujah. It's got to be on the inside. It takes a changed heart to lay down all the honors. And willingly, and just as willingly as we took up the honors. Just think, you got all these honors and you're going out with this great big knapsack full of honors. The most willing servant. The number one preacher, you know what I mean? So on like that. Oh, God. Well, actually, they're burdens. Can you lay them down? See, they become your life. Learn this. And you got all of these things that you cherish so much in your home and your family and your little French chair there with a silk on it. And oh, don't sit on that. And your little doilies and your little tables and your little gods and your little things around the house and your little garden with the rocks around it and your little car and your little this and your little family and your little husband and your little wife and your little kids and your little huh? You got all these things. Are you willing to give them all up for the cause of Christ? It's getting kind of quiet in here. It's real quiet. Deathly quiet. Maybe there's a death happening. I hope so. Now, you're sitting here today, and I think the message spoke to a lot of people here today. And for the radio audience, just 2 30-second comments about something that spoke to you in this message about being content. Just a 30-second, 20-second, would you believe 5 seconds? Anything. Anybody? Now, I couldn't have done all that talking. Well, something happened here. Is something happening in your heart? Anything? And learn how to be content? Right here? Okay. Okay. Here I come. Ready or not.
Actually, that thing about the song and worrying about whether or not somebody would take it, you know, and say that it was there, I went through real fears over that stuff. And it boiled down to wanting my own recognition for the thing. So what I did was have it copywritten.
Very good idea. Not that we're not content, but you know how people are. Anybody else?
Go with your utility.